Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Reality TV. It has been a few weeks since I last caught up with you, and I have a whole lot to talk about today, but I did my best to put a couple bullet points so I make sure that I cover everything and I try to organize my thoughts as best as possible. But before I jump into that, I just want to remind you that if you miss this podcast here, make sure you subscribe for free and you're checking out We Love to Hate Everything on your favorite free podcast app, because Amanda and I are not only covering Teen Mom, but we're covering whatever we want to talk about. So last week, we talked about our favorite iconic TV moments, everything from, the reveals on reality shows to Princess Diana and the crash and all that. Oh, God, I was going to say all that good stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. Go and check it out and hopefully you love it. And then we can just shoot the shit over there as well, because I do miss you guys over here. But listen, I'm going to see Reality TV out through the end of the year, and then we'll see where we're at. All right. Okay. Now, I do have one more thing I want to mention, and I'm not going to do a whole Patreon shill here because I know Patreon is not for everyone. But if you are a Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelor fan, Bachelorette fan, you might want to check out We Love to Hate TV on Patreon. All the links are in the show notes, because Amanda and I are going to start recapping the new season of Bachelor in Paradise. And I watched the first season of The Bachelor, like way back when, with that dorky looking guy. I don't even think anyone remembers him, because that first season was just weird, and it has definitely evolved. But I have not seen any season all the way through since then. Both of us are new to this, and I'm really excited because there's got to be something to it. So many of you love The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. So I'm excited to see what all the hubbub is about. So we'll be starting that after the season premiere on Monday the 16th. So go and check that out. And then we're also going to be covering the new season of Young and Pregnant. I'm normally not a fan of the Young and Pregnant seasons, but this one looks kind of insane, so I'm looking forward to it. And then you can check out what's going on Total Request Pod, because that changes week to week depending on what you request us to watch. But this week, here on this show, man, I definitely want to touch on Real Housewives of Potomac and Beverly Hills, really in particular, Erica Jane hyphen Girardi, and Love After Lockup, 90 Day Fiancé. But I also want to talk about a couple shows that I have been binging, or that I have binged, and I recommend you all get on this. All of these shows are either on HBO Max, Discovery Plus, Peacock, maybe Netflix. Okay, well, let me just throw them out here. Now, the first one, you're going to say, okay, Jody, I already watched that. I already know the whole thing. But trust me, you're going to want to watch this. This is a documentary series on, I want to say, Discovery Plus or Peacock, one of those two, Dr. Death. This is not the Joshua Jackson one. And yes, it is the same Dr. Death with the podcast, Dr. Dunch. Remember Christopher Dunch? But this is a documentary series. All of the episodes are out, so you can binge them. I want to say there's either 4 or 5 episodes. And you meet the documentary maker, the podcast creator. So you are able to put her face with her voice. You meet the two doctors that really brought Dr. Dunch down. And then you meet some of, I don't want to call them victims, survivors. It's just so, so good. And the satisfaction of just wrapping it all up. Oh, and you get to meet his ex that he had 2 children with. We're going to need to discuss her. I really, really want to. Maybe we'll talk about this in the Facebook group, in the safety of our community here. I'd love to know your thoughts on his ex. So Dr. Death, check it out. Not the Joshua Jackson one, although that might be good. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of scripted stuff. Now, in saying that, if you're not watching The White Lotus on HBO Max, what the hell are you doing? I'm kicking myself for not watching it sooner. I binged the first four episodes over the weekend. I watched the latest one, episode 5, last night, and it is incredibly well written. It's funny, and I guess it's a mystery. Like, my kids were walking in and out, and they're like, "What is this about?" And I'm like, "I don't really know. It's not really a mystery, I think. Might be a murder mystery. I don't really know." There's no way to describe it. It's just so, so good. Jennifer Coolidge is in it. Steve Zahn is in it. Connie Britton, whose wardrobe, I want every single thing she has worn, down to her pajamas, her swimsuits, her swimsuit cover-up. There is this blue dress she wears, not the blue cover-up, which I did find online. There's a couple things you can find online that she wore, but I'm loving every second of it. And, oh, there is a little reality tie-in with The White Lotus, because the writer, director, and producer of the show, his name is Mike White, I believe. He himself was on reality shows. He was on The Amazing Race with his dad, and then he was on Survivor, I believe. Maybe even two seasons of The Survivor. So go and watch it. It's so good. Very easily bingeable. There's a couple moments that are steamy, so maybe don't watch it with your kids. Maybe if they're older and you can handle that sort of thing, but otherwise that one's not so kid-friendly. There is another true crime series called Civilian PI. This one's on Discovery Plus. I was binging and finished that series Relentless. I'd love to talk about that with anyone who finished it out, because I have very conflicted feelings about that true crime documentary series. But this one, Civilian PI, is different. Each episode is self-contained, and it's real-life people who are trying to solve these crimes. The first one, there's these two guys, and I guess they have a true crime podcast. I looked it up, and it doesn't look like it's super popular, but the crime itself is really, really interesting. And then there's a couple episodes where they have amateur DNA sleuths that dive into the GEDmatch database, and they are able to find who these missing persons are and who were the perpetrators. Really, really good one. So go and binge that. That'll be a nice little Sunday afternoon for you. And then, of course, you really should watch Woodstock 99. That one is on HBO Max, and it's about an hour and a half on the original OG Fyre Festival that was Woodstock 99. And if you're in my age range, where maybe you were late high school, college years when Woodstock 99 went down, it's gonna be, it could be PTSD. It could just be a flood of memories that come back to you. I know for myself, I remember that whole Limp Bizkit performance, and I remember Kurt Loder reporting from the fiery meltdown of that tower in the background late at night. I highly recommend you go check it out. Although I will say there is a trigger warning near the end. So if you are triggered by scenes or mention of sexual assault, you'll know when it's kind of coming. So stop the rest of the documentary right there. But it's an excellent documentary. And at the very least, it'll bring back all of those moments when Alanis Morissette was singing about the black fly in her Chardonnay, and Jewel was at, well, I wouldn't say her peak. It was kind of during that first revelation that she was a cowgirl now. You know, she's not an Eskimo. She's into her cowgirl phase. That's where we were at. So make sure you check that out. Woodstock 99, really good one. And then, of course, if you're not watching True Life Crime with journalist Doma T. Pongo, get yourself over to that MTV app or Hulu, I believe, is replaying it as well. 40-ish minutes of a true crime episode. This super talented and also very handsome man, Doma T. Pongo, he leads you through the friends and family or the victims of these different crimes, and they try to wrap it up, and he does it in such a great way. Great, great, great series. And they're already on season 2, and it's currently airing, so you can kind of keep up with it, even if you've binged all the episodes. This summer, HelloFresh has everything you need to get a delicious meal on your table. Grab yourself a grilling bundle or burger packs if you're entertaining, or try out a favorite in my house, the Surf and Turf packs. Less shopping means more time to actually enjoy your meal. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. No longer am I scavenging last minute for something to make for dinner or roaming the aisles of the grocery store hoping for divine meal inspiration. Amazing meals that even my picky kids love and the convenience of HelloFresh's delivery system make it, no surprise, it's America's number one meal kit. Now let me tell you a prime example of why HelloFresh has become my lifesaver. Right now, I am at the hospital with my son and my mom is staying at my house with my daughter. I already have two meals that were delivered on my preferred day, which are Mondays, so there's one less thing I need to worry about while I'm out of office. I know my daughter can pitch in a delicious dinner of street-style chicken shawarma will be a hit for everyone. And trying more adventurous dishes has actually been my favorite part of subscribing to HelloFresh. I never ever would have known what chicken shawarma was, let alone how to make it. And now it's one of my favorite dishes to add to my delivery when it's available. But if you're not adventurous or have dietary restrictions, trust me, there is still plenty to choose from. Vegetarian, calorie or carb smart, even Kraft burgers, which are amazing. Keep an eye out for the Frank's Red Hot ones. You won't regret adding freshness and flavor to your life. Even your bank account will thank you, because HelloFresh is 28% cheaper than the grocery store and 72% cheaper than eating out. There is truly something for everyone. So go to HelloFresh.com/RealityTV14 and use code RealityTV14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/RealityTV14, promo code RealityTV14 to get America's number one meal kit. Okay, now I'm completely shifting gears because there's been something or someone who has really gotten under my skin for no specific or particular reason. And it's not a personal thing, but it's just something that's been gnawing and nagging away at me. And I want to know if anyone else has picked up on this trend. So here goes nothing. I have a bone or several to pick with a Mr. Gary Jannetty. I know you probably know the name. Maybe you even follow this guy on Instagram. He was the executive producer, maybe writer. No, he was the writer or one of the writers for Family Guy. He was the EP on Will and Grace. And he also wrote this show on a British channel called Vicious for a couple years. And he's, I guess, most well-known, at least to me, as being Brad Goreski's husband. And a couple years ago, he started having these Instagram posts where he was, okay, it was kind of like the Surrey's Burn book, if you remember that. And then I think someone did the same thing with Northwest, where he was writing as if he was Prince George, you know, little Prince George, and, you know, throwing shade at people or making comments about Meghan Markle or his own parents or siblings. You get the idea, right? At first, I thought it was really funny. And I do think that some of the early ones were funny. But now there is a show on HBO, I think, called The Prince. It's an animated series, kind of like The Family Guy, really. And I didn't even know anything about this until I was, you know, on HBO Max binging my The White Lotus or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I think that's the same guy. And then I found myself in a wormhole. And sure enough, this show is being produced. And I was like, okay, well, those first ones were funny. Let me see how this trailer is. And I played the trailer and it was not funny to me at all. Like, I didn't even chuckle. I couldn't even find the humor in it. His accent as Prince George, because he's voicing himself as Prince George, wasn't consistent and it wasn't funny. I just didn't get the whole thing at all. Like, the idea of it, the premise of it, this is kind of problematic. We're posing and making fun of a kid that's still actually a kid. This is an actual family and an actual kid. And all that serious stuff aside, which I do think it's really in poor taste and really bad. I mean, these kids are little. They're going to have to grow up, but whatever. I make fun of people and I make fun of kids too. So I'm not even going to get into that whole thing. But it's just not funny. And that's what I hate about this, is that I'm watching it and I'm like, this thing is on HBO. This is only on here because it's got someone's name behind it that people have just decided he's hilarious, that he's so funny. And this bugs me because for the last year or so, after all of this Prince George burn book, so to speak, came out, I'm sure I followed him. Maybe I still do. I don't even know because I'm not on Instagram that much anymore. But I would see his posts and I would just think, that's not really that funny. Like, why are people going apeshit over this guy, fawning over him? Like, oh my God, Gary Jannetty, he's so funny. And I've heard him on podcasts and people kissing his ass, telling him how hysterical he is. And I don't get it. And I hate this trend of celebrities kissing each other's ass. Or actually, you know what? I won't even say celebrities. I'll say, even like in the podcast world, I know I'm going to probably get myself into some deep shit because maybe the 12 of you that listened years ago when I went out to the OC and there was a whole big thing, there was other podcasters there and I did a Patreon on it. And then some of you went and ran your mouth and told people that, I don't know, I like hated them or whatever, which was not even the case. But there is this sort of kiss-assy world of podcasters and I guess they're celebrities, but not like, you know, Hollywood celebrities, like the Gary Jannettys of the world or even the, I don't know, what's coming to mind right now, only because these two people kiss each other's ass all the time. Like Kelly Ripa is commenting on his shit and Lisa Rinna and all this stuff. Like, oh my God, you're so hilarious. No, you're so hilarious. And then since one or two people say it, they all believe it. And then you hear him on podcasts and people are like, you, hands down, are the funniest man on Instagram. And it drives me crazy because he's not that funny. And this goes in general for a lot of people. Like I can think of, okay, I'm getting emotionally wrapped up in this. I can think of a lot of podcasters who are so talented and hilarious that are not getting 50,000 people liking their tweets and their posts and their podcasts. Like Cara Berry is so freaking funny on her own doing a solo podcast, which I myself know it is very difficult to do. She's so funny. And yes, she has a ton of people listening to her, but not as many that should be listening to her. Same goes for Nick Kachanov and his Good Vanilla podcast all about Ina Garten. Same thing, Colin and Nick, best supporting podcast. I mean, there's so many really funny, talented people that are not getting 40,000 likes and retweets for something that's not that great. Why am I going on this rant and why am I on my soapbox? I don't know. Maybe you'll join me when I read a couple of these Instagram posts to you that have gone way too far in the you're so talented Gary category. Okay, so here's one from July 4th. It's July 4th, the day we commemorate the birth of our country by posting bikini and shirtless pics. 24,000 likes. January Jones, already done, Gary. Lisa Rinna, Gary, oh my God, you're so funny. Isn't that something that we've all said since like 1992? Not that great. Here's another one. If you can't text it to me, I'd rather not know what it is. 25,000 likes. Another one. That's what's underneath your mask? 17,500 people. Kaylee Cuoco, blah, ha, 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 ha. If you're asking, Jody, is it because he has that little quote and maybe a funny picture, a selfie or something? No, it's just a white screen with black typewriter font on it. And it's getting 25,000 likes. Here's another one. Being gay on Super Bowl Sunday must be what it's like on Christmas for Jews. 56,000 likes. And then because I'm a glutton for punishment, I'm scrolling through because I'm like, you know what? I kind of remember him saying that a couple years ago. Yeah, sure enough, he's posted that exact same tweet twice. And each time it's getting all these freaking likes and retweets and re-Instagram posts and all that shit. For someone being so creative, you got to repost the exact same thing twice. Here's another one. It's actually pretty cool for Jewish kids not to tell the other kids about, if you guys catch my drift, 48,000 likes. And again, that one's been posted twice. Here's another. Okay, I'm going to give you two more, and then I'm just going to like step away and stop sounding like an asshole. And I don't know what my point of this is. I'm not bitter. I'm not jealous because I don't even post on Instagram or anything. It just drives me crazy, this ass-kissy world. Thank God I don't live in California or anywhere in these areas because this kind of shit drives me crazy. Okay. At least we don't need a beach body this summer. Do you remember saying that yourself last summer and the summer before? Yeah, me too. But guess what? Gary said it and he got 44,500 likes. I'm not judgmental. I'm just extremely observant. Well, he got 55,500 likes, which is pretty annoying because I know I said that when I was like 9 years old in 1989. So there we go. Can we just stop with this now? Am I the only one that's not finding that funny? Why are people inviting him on podcasts and telling him how insanely talented he is? I don't like it. Okay. I swear to God, I'm not a bitter middle-aged woman. Well, I mean, I am, but not solely for that reason. Okay, so let's just jump into actually a woman who is very bitter and she's middle-aged too. I'm talking about Angela on 90 Day Fiancé. Now let's take a moment, a very brief minute or two, to catch up what's going on with Angela and Michael. We know that he is still in Nigeria. We know that Angela has healed from however many surgeries and dental procedures that she's had. For some reason, she's still sporting her fried as hell hair. Like no one has stepped in and given her a keratin treatment, God forbid. But she is now going to this doctor's office asking what it's going to take for her to tote a baby. I mean, she's really hanging on to that catchphrase, toting, to tote Michael's baby. Their supposed plan is that Michael's going to freeze his sperm, send it over the ocean to Angela, who's just going to, I don't know, reach in and grab one of Skyla's eggs, mix it together, and she's going to carry this baby. Let's just ignore the fact that we know she just had a grandmommy makeover and she doesn't want to mess up her body, nor does she have any real intention to get this done. But I do think she was genuinely shocked to know how much it cost to do an egg retrieval and have an egg donor and have IVF done. Where in all of these years has she not found the time to do a simple Google search? You and I have done the searching for her. We've done the research. Guaranteed, if you have not had IVF or egg retrievals and you already know the cost, you Googled it with me, like approximately how much money is this going to cost Angela? And I'll tell you one thing for sure, TLC's checks are not going to cover even a third of what it's going to cost for her to get pregnant. Now, again, she has no intention of doing so. And to be honest, I do think she's over Michael. I think she'll always love him in a certain way. But like I said last time, she doesn't need him like she used to need him. He used to provide her the verbal affirmations that she needed to have a good self-esteem and to think that she's hot. But now she's had the surgery and she believes in herself. She likes herself and she doesn't need him anymore. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if once they are off this show, she just quickly, you know, washes her hands of him and moves on. And she could probably find an amazing guy at the local bar where she probably hangs out with the other Angela from Love After Lockup, Angela and Tony, you know, that one. Those two would make a great pair. Well, I mean, great for each other, not great for their lung health. That's definitely for sure. Okay, so Julia and Brandon, I do want to touch a little bit on them because they're not really giving us anything this season besides a peek into their very depressing apartment that has zero natural light that looks out onto a brick wall. I would go clinically insane if I were to move into that place. I need light. I need sunshine. I need to feel like I can breathe fresh air if needed. I say if needed because 99% of the time the air conditioning is on in my home, and that includes during the winter. We just go right from AC to heat. Very rarely is a door or window open around here because, you know, we have allergies and It's really attractive, all of us in our tissues and our, oh, actually, Zizol, guys, allergy sufferers. I was about to say Zyrtec, but Zizol, get on that shit if you have allergies. Xyzal. Anyway, Julia and Brandon have this apartment. His mom is a lazy piece of, why was I going to say lazy piece of ass? That sounds like I'm calling his mom a piece of ass. No, she's just a lazy piece of shit. You know, for all the work that Julia was putting in, shoveling pig shit, whether she wanted to or not on their farm, did you see Betty? Yeah, Betty, right? Did you see her when they were moving in? She just sat her disgusting, probably covered in pig or cow shit, jeaned ass up on their countertop, their new countertop, her nasty ass germs up there. She didn't lift a fucking finger. Anyway, the two of them move in and I was already not liking Julia because, you know, we all saw that reunion. Her true colors were flying. But when they went to that grocery store and she said, "No, no, Brandon, one bottle of wine. We don't need two." And then we find out they were buying wine for a housewarming party that they were having. One bottle of wine. I don't even care if the guys were drinking beer and even his ex-girlfriend or ex-friend or whatever, even if she wasn't drinking wine, you always get at least two because what if someone changes their mind? But to serve a single bottle that you yourself are drinking, so that's already, you're already down to half a bottle, and a bag of chips, that's what you're serving? I mean, that's probably why Julia keeps a very slim figure, but I would be pissed if I showed up with a gift. I walk into an apartment that I'm already having an anxiety attack because I feel like I'm walking into a prison cell. And then I find out they're not even serving finger sandwiches or chips with a dip, just a single barbecue chip. And actually, you know what? I bet you they didn't even do that. They probably just went with a plain non-ruffle. It was probably like a plain Lay. The ones in the yellow bag, don't get me started. Those smell like kid farts after cafeteria lunch. And I know because I used to teach and it was like that disgusting plain chip smell. Anyway, she's the worst just for that. Fired off the show just for the lack of drinks or snacks. And I was about to say alcohol, but if you're not an alcohol drinker, did you look around? She's probably going to serve you lukewarm tap water just right from the sink in a dirty plastic glass. All right, enough of those two. Kalani and Asuelu. Ooh, a lot to unpack here. I've said this before, but Asuelu gives me anxiety. Like, I want to divorce Asuelu and then fall in love with him and have a baby with him, just like Kalani. The emotional roller coaster this toddler man puts us all through. I don't get it. Like, there just is something about Asuelu, his aura, that draws you in just as quickly as he pushes you away and pisses you off. Because he can be sweet and lovable. And when he's dancing to his Samwa thing, he can be kind of attractive if you don't look at the back of his head that's really flat. But then he says stupid shit, says, oh, he needs his mommy. And you're like, what the hell just happened? I was totally on your side and maybe a little turned on when you tackled your sister. But now you're saying you want to move to Samwa so you can go, I don't know, something tells me like he cleans his mom's ears or something, or she cleans his, whatever. It's so bizarre. And the fact that Kalani and her whole family were even willing to have them over for the show for Christmas, because of course that's the only reason they agreed to do this. That's still a huge show of, I don't know, appreciation or love for Asuelu, whatever it is, that was very generous of them to do. But then for him to just so quickly flip and listen to his stupid friend Tui, who I was rooting for in that smash room thing. Okay, hold on. Put a time out what I was just saying right there. Put a pin in it. Let's talk about the smash room thing. I don't know if I'm pissed off because I think it's such a stupid idea or I'm pissed off that I didn't think of it sooner because what an easy business model. Rent one of those warehouse spaces, those same kind of places where they have, you know, jumpy places, the jumpy house, indoor jumpy house places. And then you just go to Goodwill or Salvation Army or whatever dumpster is around the corner, grab all the shit out of it, throw it in a room, someone else smashes it all up. You just open up that garage door, sweep it into a dumpster thing, and then you get rid of it. That seems like the easiest business model, very low overhead. You probably don't need to have a whole lot of staff. You probably need a good insurance rider, whatever the hell that is. That's so freaking simple. What a huge profit you could turn on that place. And you don't have little kids running around without their shoes on, and it stinks like socks. So I loved that idea. And again, kind of jealous that I didn't think of it sooner. Not that I have any intention of doing that, because it does seem like a lot of work. But let's get back to this friend Tui here. What the hell is he doing? Is he jealous of Asuelu and want to make his life a living hell? Does he want Asuelu to get a divorce? You know what? If Samwa seems like such a great idea to go and be with your family, Tui, why don't you go back? Why are you here? And I didn't see a ring on his finger, which, you know, single guys, make sure that you're giving your married friends advice on their marriage and what their wives and children should do. Now, Asuelu's stupid for even listening to this guy, but sure enough, he does. And again, even if it's for the show, which I always say about these people, even if it's for the show, don't start to believe it as an actual good idea and bring it to your partner, because maybe you'll be so convincing enough, they're not going to know it's just for the show, which is exactly what happens to Asuelu. He mills this stuff over in his very small, slow processing brain, and he starts to think it's a good idea. So while he and Kalani have a nice little game of volleyball with each other, and they were actually both pretty good, to volley like that, I was impressed. He brings it up to her as if she would even entertain it for a moment. Yeah, Kalani looks like the exact kind of gal who's going to move to Samwa, closer to your family, in a more intimate environment. She really looks like a girl who likes to live off the land. She didn't even want to sweep up the apples in the backyard. She made you do it. And as a matter of fact, Asuelu seemed kind of pissed off about picking up all those apples last season. They are good at volleyball, though. They could probably be in a co-ed Olympic team if they wanted to. Which, why don't they do that? I don't think they do a medley like they do for swimming. Did you guys watch the Olympics? I did here and there. I started to kind of taper off towards the end because we all do. You know, the gymnastics is over. The fun, exciting swimming stuff is over. But I will say the beach volleyball, it's very entertaining, mainly because both men and women have incredible bodies. But my God, what a horrible sport. It just seems like it would be sweaty and sticky and overexertion 99% of the time. I mean, talking about an anaerobic activity, my heart would be well over my max heart rate. There's no aerobic, you know what I mean? It's just 99% exertion and energy at all times. It's freaking insane. How did I get on beach volleyball? Oh, right. They're pretty good volleyball players. Okay. I'm not even going to talk about Elizabeth and Andre because I don't watch them. I fast forward immediately when I see her cross-eyed sister. And I can say that because I kind of have a wonky eye sometimes. All right. Now, Tiffany and Ronald. I'm saving Mike and Natalie for last because I got a lot to say about them. Tiffany and Ronald are so toxic with each other. They need to be apart. If I had to choose between the two of them, of course, I'm going to choose Tiffany. I do think she can be very condescending. I think she can be controlling, but I think she earned the right to be. She has been doing all of the parenting on her own. She's been doing all the emotional and physical and monetary heavy lifting. So I do think Ronald has something to prove to her, or does have a ways to go to not repay her monetarily, but, you know, like I don't know, or it's his time to give. He does need to be going above and beyond to prove to her that she should stay there even for Christmas, or that she should stick it out and bring him to the States. But here's the whole thing that I don't think Tiffany is seeing, because she's so in it. We've all been there with whether a partner, former partner, or even a family member or a friend. When you're in it, you can't really see it that clearly. But in retrospect, you're like, holy shit, how did I not see that? And why didn't I say that thing and that argument to just prove my point? And I would have won the argument, maybe. Just me. I like to win the arguments. Ronald doesn't want to stay married to her. Ronald doesn't want to be a dad. He doesn't want her to move there. He doesn't want to go to the States. So he's going to do the word for 2020 gaslight. He's going to gaslight her and try to turn it around on her so he can come out of this blame-free, fault-free. He wants to be a single guy. He wants to tear down that ugly blue room that no one's sleeping in, by the way. I have a feeling he put like lead paint or something super toxic to breathe in, and that's why that little Daniel isn't even sleeping in there. I think he wants his garage back, doesn't want a woman yapping at him all day long in his eyes. Not that I think she's yapping. I don't think he wants to change diapers. I don't think he really wants to have kids at all, let's be honest. But he also wants to be able to say, I wanted to be a dad and I wanted to be a husband, but she left. She took the kids. Now, when it got scary, of course, is when he flat out tells his step-by-step plan how he's going to remove Tiffany from the country and fight for his kids, and Daniel and little shebangs, Carly, are never going to see their mom again. He's like, yeah, I know it's wrong, but still, I'm going to fight. And he got really scary about it. I was stunned that we didn't see a fourth wall broken where producers go and tell Tiffany, hey, he's planning on kidnapping your kids. Because I 100% believe Ronald would do that. Would he probably bring his mom along with him while he's on the run because he doesn't want to take care of his kids? Yeah, absolutely. Because he doesn't want to be a dad, but he can't lose because he's, I don't know, a narcissist or a sociopath, whatever it is. He's scary. I do think he would take the kids. How many times have we seen these Dateline episodes or 2020 where you're in different countries? Why am I saying you? Hopefully not you. There are people in different countries and they never see their kids again because the mom or the dad takes them. And then you have all these international parenting laws and it gets insane. I was shocked we didn't see that. And I don't think Tiffany had any idea that he said that or else she would have been out of there that night. No doubt about it. Any mom would have been out of there. God, I'm terrified for her, to be honest, because he is scary. And I do think his verbal and emotional abuse would very, very quickly turn into physical abuse. Not that that's worse than the other two, but come on, you guys, step in, camera crew, and get her the hell out of there. Ronald sucks. All right, now Mike and Natalie. I think I'm one of the last ones that's holding out on Natalie's side because I did take a little look at Twitter and it seemed like everyone I saw was like, oh my God, thank God Mike finally said something. She's out of your life, Mike. She's crazy. She's gaslighting you. She's nuts. She only came here for the green card. What am I not seeing? I mean, I know Natalie is batshit crazy. She's carrying a fucking rat around and letting it nuzzle into her head. Okay, she is nuts, crazy, crazy eyes, crazy friend, who we will get to. Don't you freaking worry. Your crazy wannabe Salem witch trial. God, that friend. Natalie's crazy, right? But I 100% lay 99% of the blame on Mike. I think Mike is an asshole, is very selfish. He's a narcissist. He doesn't come off that way at first because he's not that great looking, right? You look at him and you're like, oh, well, there's no way he could be that much of a jerk. Look at him. Like, he's a taller, kind of husky guy, average looks. He can't be an asshole, but he is. Why? Because his mom babies him and they have this little secret language where they talk to each other in these old, not funny sayings and puns, like whatever the hell he said when he picked up the phone. He's like, hey there, Mamasaurus Rex, or I don't, it makes me want to gag. Like the way they kind of tease and flirt with each other and these not funny jokes, that's what made him a monster. His mom has made him think he is so special and so unique and such a good catch that he has believed that. And now he is acting like his mom. And it, I mean, come on, ladies. Is there anything hotter and more attractive and more of a package than a man who talks like a 60-some-year-old woman? No, okay? He is being such an asshole to Natalie, and he does this push and pull thing, and going back to the hit phrase of 2020, gaslighter. He is a gaslighter. The whole thing with Natalie moving out, we saw him yell at her when they were doing that little confessional moment that then turned into part of the show where they called up his mom and she had to say, "Did you call me a hooker?" which she didn't really ask. Again, to me, that doesn't even matter because Natalie is crazy. Whether she made that thing up or not, his mom's still a bitch. She's still a bitch to Natalie, and she did want Natalie to feel uncomfortable. So where am I here? Okay, so Mike saying, get your shit and get the hell out. And then to tell her as she's packing her bags and leaving, oh, so you're just going to leave? So that's what you're going to do? You've made up your mind, huh? You're just going to leave just like that. Well, yeah, you told her to get her shit and leave. So now he's pouting like, well, I guess she showed what she really wanted. She didn't love me. She just was going to leave me anyway. Come on, man. You told her up until the day you were getting married that, yes, we're getting married. And then you dumped her. And then you took her back. He loves the push and pull. Kind of just like Ronald. He wants to be able to say he's the victim. Like, well, I wanted to make it work out and blame it on her. But really, it's a huge fault on him. I think it's mostly Mike's fault. And then when she goes to walk out and he does the don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Could you not with the mom jokes? That's not even a dad joke. That is a 60-some-year-old woman who thinks she's funny joke. And am I specifically talking about his mom being that 60-some-year-old woman? Yeah, there's just some energy vibe around that. And again, maybe it hits a little close to home. I can't go into that, but listen, if you know, you know. It's just like that, okay? Now, let's break this down. Where the friend comes back in. What's her name? Julia? I want to say her name's Julia. When she comes back in and she asks to use the bathroom, I could not stop laughing because she just showed up like the freaking Grudge, standing in the corner with that stupid headband and the crazy ass wig or the crazy ass hair that looks like a wig and just standing there thumbing her fingers. Can I use your bathroom? And then when you heard the flush, for some reason, hearing the flush to me was the best part. I bet you Mike was sitting there just hearing her pee, which for any woman knows it's the worst part about going to someone's house or in a public bathroom. Yes, we all pee, but you don't want anyone to hear you pee. So I'm sure he heard Julia peeing. Is her name Julia, you guys? Whatever the hell. I'm just going to call her Witchy Poo because she looks like a witch. Witchy Poo peeing in there, comes out in her cloak, stands there. And when she made her way over and places her hand on his and pulls him in for a hug and the hat came off his head, it was like every moment would have been an SNL skit where it's like the two of them that are really committing to that scene. And then someone like David Spade's in the back and he's breaking, right? Like he's laughing. The whole thing was unbelievable to watch. I watched it. Well, I watched it twice on my own. And then I called my daughter down and I had her watch too. It was so good. Just that moment of, oh God, I feel a presence behind me. And then she's just standing there with the dark hair and the, I loved every second of it. Now, I don't know if they end up getting back together. Does anyone know? Because it looked like Natalie was still sitting in that car hours after they went back into the car, right? Because it was dark outside. I'm all for spoilers at this point because I can't take anymore. So let me know what the Mike and Natalie situation is. If you're suddenly realizing the summer is almost over and you haven't hit your fitness goals, or if you're wanting to maintain a killer routine you got going on, you still likely want to shake things up, right? Ritual, the makers of my favorite multivitamins, have done it again by formulating a clean, plant-based protein formula specifically created to support nutrient needs of all different life stages, 18 plus, pregnancy and postpartum, and 50 plus. Now, I have had a lot of fun trying Ritual's essential protein with my smoothies, my oatmeal, and even my personal recipe, if I do say so myself, that would be my iced coffee latte. It's just iced coffee, a scoop or two of Ritual's essential protein, a little stir because it blends super smoothly, and voila, a guilt-free latte for my afternoon slump. Let's talk about the taste though, because that's really what keeps me coming back. Ritual's delicious taste isn't on accident. Direct from farmer vanilla bean extract that's sustainably harvested in Madagascar makes all the difference. No gross powdery aftertaste. Plus 20 grams of pea protein made from peas sustainably grown and farmed right here in the U.S. make it a clean, soy-free, gluten-free, and non-GMO protein source from the brand you know you can trust. Now, if you aren't needing or wanting a protein boost every day, just let Ritual know you want to spread out your deliveries. Skip a month, pause a delivery, no hassle, no problem. Ritual wants your ritual to fit your lifestyle, and they're only a click or a phone call away. So why not shake up your ritual? To make trying something new less scary, Ritual offers a money-back guarantee if you're not 100% in love. Plus, my listeners get 10% off during your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/reality TV to add essential protein today. That's ritual.com/reality TV. All right, let's jump into Love After Lockup here. Now, Anissa and Jeff, I have no idea what Jeff said. We're going to need some subtitles on Jeff because the amount of air and spit that's going through the gaps in his teeth and the dead teeth, I couldn't make out any words. But Anissa is still giving me this returns manager at JCPenney's or Kohl's energy. I can just feel it. I can feel the Vera Wang blouse with a Daisy Fuentes pant and, yeah, Croft and Barrow ballet flat. I just feel it. I feel it so deeply for Anissa, and good for her. I mean, get the employee discount while you can, right? But otherwise, I have no idea what the hell this conversation was because I can't understand Jeff. Now, Brittany and Ray, you guys, I did some research on these two because they're so boring on this show. There's nothing to talk about. And no, I don't believe that Ray is 29. I just cannot believe it. He had to have falsified some sort of birth certificate. Because yes, his jail and his arrest and prison records say 29, but there's no way in hell, unless they had like tanning lights inside that prison that aged his skin the way that it did. I have no idea. Brittany is just so beige to me. She's no personality. She's like a less entertaining Chevelle from previous season, and she was already boring. So whatever they're doing on the show, don't care. I do want some of that grandma's fried chicken because it looked really good. Even if it was microwaved and a little soggy, I would definitely try that. And I don't even like chicken on the bone. Anyway, all that said, because it is boring, I looked up what Ray's prison history was. What was his arrest history? Because I couldn't really remember. Was it something real boring, you know, like a white collar crime? Or did he do something really interesting? Well, it's a little bit of both. Turns out, according to Starcasm, where I found some of these links, go and check it out. They actually have some good spoilers on there, too. He burglarized a bunch of Walgreens. So it was him and like three other guys would go to the drive-thru window and they would bust through the drive-thru window so they could steal some of the prescription drugs from the pharmacy. But he's such an idiot because he left his blood on every single crime scene. So they would break into the Walgreens and it was only him. It was almost like he would purposely leave a calling card, kind of like on a Home Alone in Home Alone where the wet bandits, he would like just bleed all over the fucking place. So they knew the first one, it was Ray's blood. Second Walgreens, like 3 days later, Ray's blood. A week later, Ray's blood. Fourth one, Ray's blood. One of the burglaries, I think it was the last one, they put all the prescriptions that they stole in a black garbage bag, and then they try to exit the Walgreens in that same window that was broken, and they dragged the black garbage bag through that hole, and, you know, as you know, glass can easily break through and rip a garbage bag. It ripped the garbage bag, and they lost, like, 90% of the prescription drugs that they were trying to steal, and they were probably like, God damn it, Ray, you bled all over the place. We got to get the hell out of here. So then they leave, right? And they know who they need to be looking for, the police at this point, because they're going throughout the Midwest, a couple different states. Then he gets pulled over on like July 31st with a couple other guys. And in the back of the car, there are garbage bags. There's like a noose. There's a bleach. I mean, like all the things to do for a crime. And then there was a splitting maul. Now, I had to look up what a splitting maul was. And apparently, those of you who have listened to Marriage Bootcamp recaps on Patreon, a splitting maul is a hatchet. It's like a machete sort of thing, okay? Like you split wood with it. They had that in the trunk, and there was nothing else in the car that the police could charge them with, although they're like, well, might as well just trail this vehicle because they're going to be doing something or murdering someone. Not even 24 hours later, it was 7 or 8 hours later, guess what? They bust into a Walgreens and used the hatchet to break through. So they automatically had everyone's names that were in the car and they were able to find them. Like they were like the stupidest criminals ever. I could break through a Walgreens and do a way better job. And I'm scared shitless. Like I would turn myself in immediately. Although one time I totally forgot about this. I was in a Walgreens where I used to live and I saw a woman come in and I saw her actively shoplifting. Like she was putting lotion and stuff in her jacket. And I was afraid I was going to get like shot at and stuff because I've never seen anyone actually steal. But I was in line waiting and I was like the second person waiting in line. And so I was trying to make eyes with the cashier like someone's stealing something. And she walked out just as it was my turn. So I just quietly said to the cashier, I'm like, that person was just stealing something. Now, I don't know what I expected to happen. Like probably 55-year-old Debbie from behind the counter was going to go chase this woman down. Of course not. And now I know after watching TikTok, you can basically steal anything from a store and the security people are not going to catch you unless you're at Walmart. That seems to be like the one place they will always get you. But I mean, I was traumatized. I ran out to my car because for some reason, to me, seeing someone steal something in a store means there's about to be something that's going to go down in there. I ran to the car. I told Dave and he's like, okay, cool. What did you want the lady to do? I'm like, I don't know. But I think I just saw a perp do something and I feel like I should contact the police. I didn't. But I'm just saying, I was pretty close to seeing Ray commit a crime. I don't know, you guys. Okay, moving on. Courtney and Booger. I'm just calling him Booger because I totally forgot his name. I'm calling him Booger because he had that huge freaking booger in his nose that all the dogs wanted to eat, apparently. Is this a thing? Disgusting. Okay, Courtney is the former corrections officer who got fired. I feel bad for her. I feel really bad for her because Booger doesn't even want to have sex with her. The guy that she lost her job has a felony or whatever on her record now. She just fucked up her life for this guy who doesn't even want to freaking cuddle her. I feel bad for her. And okay, speaking of Kara Berry of Everyone's Business But Mine, I was listening to her recap and she's like, she said that they only had sex three times that week that he's been home and that's average. I would agree. Okay, for married couples, that's probably more than average or if you've been in a relationship for a long time. But for a new couple, like straight out of prison, you would think that guy would want to be just banging her or she would want to be banging him, which she does 24/7, right? But three times and she's asking him and he's like, eh, later. Dude, you should be so lucky. You and your booger should be so lucky that she wants to have sex with you. I mean, like, does she kind of look like a little pug or like a little bulldog or something? Yes. Is it because she does her crunchy curls like that? Probably. But she doesn't know any better. She lives in that part of the country where they haven't learned that crunchy curls don't look good anymore. I mean, Leah from Teen Mom, it took her a couple years. I get it. But I feel bad for Courtney. She was stupid for thinking that this skinny, scrawny, booger-prone man was going to be the one for her, and she gave it all up for him. But I hate him. He should be doing whatever the hell she wants him to do, because what else does he have? And then he starts pulling the attitude. He does what Doug does, who I'll talk about in a minute. He turns around. He's like, oh, yeah, you and your dumbass attitude. Now, when she walked out and she slammed the door, that would have done it in for me. Get a tissue and your booger and get the hell out of my house. I don't care where you go, but you're not staying here. No, sir. Okay, moving on to Rachel and Doug, or Rachel, Drach, and Doug. So Drach and Doug so far seem to be still into each other, right? They're still in their lovey-dovey stage. But then we go to Doug's family's house where he shouldn't have even been because, you know, he's on parole. He's on that little anklet thing. He shouldn't have even gone there, but they did. And that was Dratch's, well, I was going to say first red flag, but we're way past that. She's married to a felon here. This older sister of Doug's, I have really gathered my thoughts here, and I'm actually going to try not to cry because I was so drawn into this little Dougie here. This kid, I feel so badly for because he really just doesn't even have a chance. There's nothing this kid could do to stop what's happening around him. These horrible adults around him. Doug's sister is teasing him about the journal that he wrote in, how he missed his dad and that he loves him, like pouring his heart out in a personal journal or letters, whatever it was. But to be dangling and bullying and harassing and purposely hurting a 12-year-old's feelings is so fucking sick and twisted. And then there was like the other sister screaming, and then Doug Jr., whatever, Big Doug, Ponytail Doug, Prisoner Doug, he's sticking up for the sister that's berating his son. It was all just too much for me. And I'm just looking at this kid wanting to grab him and hug him, which thank God Dratch did, because my heart was hurting watching this. And then the kid goes in the back seat, and it always seems like these kids who are in the situation end up being so in touch with their own emotions. And sure enough, it ends up this way. I'm sorry, I'm really trying to hold back tears right now because he actually reminds me of former students and kids that I've known. And it's such a shame. He gets in the car and he says exactly what he needs to say. It's accurate. It's to the point. It's honest. And it's very insightful. He says, with Rachel hugging him, he's so much different than I anticipated. And with that, I mean, pull every single heartstring. And he's telling Doug his feelings, which is huge in my opinion. The fact that he can even voice his opinion or voice his feelings to his dad shows a lot of emotional maturity in one way. And then, of course, I mean, just that primal need for him to feel loved and heard is not being very well received by Doug or anyone else in his life besides Rachel. Spoiler alert, I think we all know that Doug now has a new girlfriend and he's just rubbing it in Rachel's face, but I don't think Rachel is missing him so much. But I really am worried about little Dougie. He should not and cannot be with his family because Doug himself even says, although he contradicts himself too, he's a total hypocrite because he's like, you know, I had such a hard upbringing and I went to therapists and I just didn't take my medicine, but my parents were hard on me because that's what kids need. I had it that way, so little Dougie should have it that way. How'd that work out for you? Not well, bitch. So maybe you do need to do something different. And I hope that different is Rachel becoming his mom, even though they're not related. I don't know what the right answer is because I don't want Rachel with Doug, and I don't think that she should have to have anything to do with him because Doug is a piece of shit and he's an asshole and he's so selfish and such a narcissist. But on the other hand, I don't want little Dougie to just get lost in the system. And I don't know what the right answer is, but Doug should not be with Doug's family, period. Now let's get to Stan and Lisa because I actually have a little more, I wouldn't say intel, but I have actually a funny story about Deontay. So Stan and Lisa, what else is there to say besides this guy is a total creep? And Lisa, well, she is having to work for everything that she's going to get out of this relationship. I mean, Stan's using her and she's using Stan. So to me, they're kind of equal here. If anything, Stan's worse because he is a total creep and he is a predator. And he is such a freaking, I don't even know how to describe him. Part of me wants to believe maybe he's doing like a Tom Girardi thing where he's going to feign like, oh, I'm losing my memory. And the only reason I'm acting like a complete freaking psycho sex fiend weirdo is because I'm getting old. But I don't think that's it. But let's just say that's what it is. Because from what I saw, from what I looked up, his wife was a nurse for like 30 years or something. And she died when she was only like 56 or something like that. So I want to believe that a woman who would spend that amount of time with Stan would be a normal person, a nurse, and maybe he just went off the deep end after his wife died. Or maybe I just don't want to think of nurses at the hospital as complete freak in the sheets and into the stuff that Stan's in. But on the other hand, you know what? If she was, good for her. She was getting hers and he's getting his. I just don't want to think of Stan getting anything, even groceries at the grocery store, because I bet you he... Okay, I'm not going to get into things that are going through my mind right now. But anyway, I just want to say this whole thing with his net worth, like I said last time, I don't believe for a second he's this multimillionaire. I think whatever assets he's including in this $2.3 million includes his house and his IRA and his 401k and probably some life insurance policy his wife had, XYZ, that Lisa would not have any claim to even if they got married, because that would probably go to his kids. And let's be real, Stan's not leaving Lisa anything even if they got married, because he's a psycho like that. And he would leave everything to his kids and not Lisa at the last second on his deathbed, because that's the kind of guy that Stan is. No millionaire is making overly cooked, thin steak, Salisbury steak at that. Like, it looked like he took a frozen Salisbury steak out of that dinner thing and slapped it on that little mini grill inside a garage, mind you. Isn't that a fire hazard? What if he had gasoline or something in there? The whole place would go up in flames, except his hair, because I bet you that hair has seen some things. His hair, whether it's natural or a piece, that looks of lower quality than even Lisa's hair. And that is rough. I don't know why Lisa is sticking with that hair that she's got on. She's put on a hat. Get one of Robin's hats from Real Housewives of Potomac and throw that over your hair. Just let it grow out, let it breathe, because I feel like she's putting a lot of tension on those roots. It's not going to grow out very well. When my anxiety is at its peak and my mind is running a mile a minute, I always reach for my trusty orange bottle of Feels CBD. It's always on my desk, and as a matter of fact, I have it with me right now because I carry a bottle in my purse too. Take it from me, this long and stressful visit in the hospital with my kiddo is definitely more manageable with a little dropper full of Feels under my tongue. Now hold on, because you may be wondering, what in the world am I doing here with CBD in my purse? Well, Feels is premium CBD that doesn't cause a hangover or addiction, and finding the right dose is important. For me, the 1200 milligram never leaves me impaired or foggy. Quite the opposite, actually. I'm able to focus and breathe deeper without that mental motor running in overdrive. If you're new to Feels, I'd recommend the flight of three different strengths for just $20. But if you know your way around, just go for it. So start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/realityTV, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/realityTV to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Click the link in the show notes. That's feels.com/realityTV. All right, let's move on to our last couple, Deontay and Nicole. I mean, these two, these youngins, they're going to make it the long haul for sure. They just have what it takes, that deep, deep connection. God, what a disaster. Deontay is just a little slow. I said he gave me Caesar vibes, and I am sticking to that. There's just something Deontay's missing upstairs, or several things, like IQ points. But Nicole is no better. She would be someone that Judge Judy would tell right to her face, beauty fades, dumb is forever. Because this girl doesn't realize that she's not going to be, what, 20, 21 for very long. She's going to get old. And with those crunchy curls that are not cute now, that's not going to age very well. I think her mom and her stepmom, I think her mom remarried, right? Or whatever, her mom's girlfriend, those two at least have a head on their shoulders. I mean, they can take the Halloween decorations down. They can take the pink out of their hair and still have a job and a house. But Nicole has got nothing. I would say she isn't even that cute. I mean, all the makeup off and just crunchy curl, not super cute at all. So I hope she's not just relying on that. Let's hope she got her GED at least behind bars, because I don't think there's any denying that she's going to be back in jail or prison, or maybe even worse, on the show for another season. I can't take Nicole. I don't like the drama. I think she definitely has that typical female prisoner, I kill my boyfriend or my fiance because they were asking for it. You know, they have no regret. They have that little sweet face. She just has a female prisoner face. Just the backdrop of her all the time should be painted brick. That's just how I see her. Now, this funny story about Deontay, I went digging to see what he does for a job, because over the course of a year, he was able to save $20,000 to $30,000, even if he's living with his mom or whatever it might be. But it looks like he's got his own place. What does he do? I just have to know. Well, I didn't find out what he does for a living, but I did find this post on Reddit. And, you know, Reddit comments are always the funniest of anything. You know, forget Gary Jannetty's Instagram here. Reddit comments are so damn funny. So I found this post on Instagram, and the title of it was just like, Deontay is a really good guy. Now, I'm going to read this post to you. You know, maybe just think about who would post this. All right, I'm going to jump a little ahead here. His girlfriend, Nicole, is a criminal felon. Deontay served in the military and has a good job in his own place. And he's close to his family, and he isn't too bad of looking of a guy. Okay, grammar. These are all features that a woman should want. Why is he going for girls in prison? I'll tell you why. Because women these days are terrible. Narcissistic, intolerable. And you can tell that just by reading much of the comments on this subreddit. They will defend the criminal scum first before the good, hardworking person looking for love. Creepy because he uses a sex doll? The point is that he's being faithful. Young men like to have sex. Duh. Women think it's creepy because they can't relate with being faithful. Y'all scandalous hoes. Well, I mean, I'm convinced, right? All right, continuing. Saying he's creepy, saying he's out to get sex, how dare you? Period. He can get sex if he wants. He wants a relationship, obviously. He's willing to provide for someone. He wants someone to love him. Yet he's the bad guy? Yeah, fuck right off with that. Here are some extra tidbits. I also read someone said he has a, quote, white girl fetish. That is just plain wrong to say. He can date any color he wants to. Next, again, why prison? I'll tell you why. He deserves someone attractive, and he knows that, and he's right. Okay, he makes good money and takes care of himself, but attractive women think they are too good for Deontay, and they are attracted to bad boys. He wants to have a normal, happy life, and that is too boring for them, so it's easy for him to get an attractive girl's attention in prison, even if it's false attention. It still gives him the feeling of being wanted by someone he wants. I mean, this person should go and be a litigator because, wow, how convincing are they? All right, I'll continue. There's just a little more. The point is that today, dating in general is just not worth it, and women need to have a big wake-up call. MGTOW. What does that stand for? My got to... Okay, please hold. I'm going to look up what MGTOW stands for. Okay, I'm back, and you guys are going to love this one. MGTOW stands for Men Going Their Own Way. It's an anti-feminist, misogynistic, no, mostly online community advocating for men to separate themselves from women and from a society which they believe has been corrupted by feminism. Oh my God. Okay. The fact that he reached out to this piece of trash user criminal scum and did anything for her makes him a good thing. She deserves to eat dirt. We all know where she will end back up. Deontay should get nothing but praise. Okay, so the comments are all like, tell us your Deontay without telling us your Deontay. It is so funny. You've got to go and look up this Reddit thread. Okay, I didn't even know about the MGTOW. Wow. Okay. Oh, wait, hold on. There's another Urban Dictionary. Males getting triggered over women. They whine about how divorce rates are high and how they are initiated by women, but they never talk about why. Oh, so maybe that's like the we're fighting back thing. Wow, this is like a whole thing. I'm scrolling down here. Oh, this is so funny. This group of straight men is swearing off women. Well, I mean, that's going to go really well for all of them, clearly. Jesus. I don't know if there's any straight men listening to this, but if you are, God, I'm so sorry for you. Oh, wow. Okay, let's move on to Real Housewives of Potomac before I get myself into a place where I'm just going to have a bunch of white straight males bashing me in my reviews. Not that I give a shit, but anyway, that shit's hilarious. That just wrote itself. Okay, Real Housewives of Potomac. All right. I know everyone loves this franchise, and I do too. I watch them all, except I didn't watch most of Real Housewives of Dallas last season because I just can't. I'm not a big Dallas fan. But this season of Potomac, I'm not loving it because I don't want to see people having babies and all that kind of stuff. I've been through it. My kids were close in age too. It's just 11, 12 years out. It's still too soon for me. I'm just not ready to go back into the baby thing. Although, very cute, newborns, whatever. I just wish they looked a little bit more like Ashley than they looked like her husband. I won't even say his name because he's just, I bet you he is part of that MGTOW, whatever. I do want to spend one more moment on Robin, and that is all because I don't understand why she's on the show and I don't understand why she gets all this love. She is just so boring. I would rather watch an entire season of Candace singing in a studio, and I can't stand Candace, than I would listening to Robin's storyline about how her boys are assholes and how she's tired and she's sleeping all the time. She's been doing that since season one. I don't understand the Robin love. Now, I do want to spend some time talking about Mia, though, because I have heard mixed things about Mia. There are a couple podcasts that I've heard that they love Mia. They think that she's bringing this energy to this season. And then other people who are like, I don't really get her. I'm in the I don't really get it category. I think she's got kind of a Jen Shaw energy to her. Hear me out. I think her backstory is much more genuine, obviously, because we know everything about Jen Shaw is just a huge lie. I feel badly for her upbringing, but she's trying too hard. It's too much going for a picnic wearing a white jacket. You know, no real woman would do that. You're going to get grass stains and all that kind of shit. It's just too much with the huge spreads of champagne and the fruit and the tons and tons of makeup. And I get that she doesn't have great skin and she's probably trying to cover it up. But like, if you're this millionaire, go and get a microdermabrasion or something. There's got to be another way, which leads me to my prediction that I think we're going to have a financial fall of the joint practitioner, the joint connection, whatever the hell, empire. Something just gives me a vibe that there's some darkness to, well, I was going to say behind closed doors, but maybe there's some emptiness to their bank accounts. And I know her husband is said to have been like this really great businessman, whatever. And so I tried looking it up. Okay. So her husband's name is Gordon Thornton, which does not roll off the tongue. I take offense to his parents doing the Gordon Thornton. It's a little too much hard consonants or something. Gordon Thornton owned some McDonald's franchises, but that was like 1993 to 2001. I loved that story. I would love to hear about a McDonald's franchisee. All the fries you could want. Although, I mean, I will bloat and I'm pretty bloated now. But listen, okay. So he had the McDonald's franchise. Then they did some Massage Envy places. And now they're doing that joint chiropractic thing. So they definitely like a franchise. Totally fine with that, right? But then when I started looking into Gordon, it kept saying like he owned those things. And then this most recent joint chiropractic thing is with Mia. So part of me makes me wonder, is it kind of like a Erica Jane thing where they're putting her name on it to link them together? Because maybe his stuff wasn't great, or like he needs her to co-sign on things. I don't know. This is obviously a total shot in the dark assumption. It's just kind of a weird feeling I get. Then he came up with this company called Giselle Executive Management, which how ironic is that? And then when I went to look up Giselle Executive Management to see what is this thing that he created a couple years ago, all I found was a Facebook page. It said zero people interested, three people follow, and there's zero posts, and this thing was created in 2018. So what the hell is that? Is this kind of like a umbrella company? I don't know how companies work at all, like I said. It just makes me very curious. And then there was some other Gordon Thornton investment group. And again, I couldn't find anything with that. So what the hell is going on here? Something looks like they may be living beyond their means. I hope I'm wrong because there's young kids involved. It just seems like a lot all at once. Very Jen Shaw-ish to me. Now let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills here. Obviously, they're having a great season thanks to Erika Jayne. If we didn't have her, what would we be talking about besides Sutton's weird sense of style and her bird legs and Crystal's bitchy attitude? I am not a Crystal fan. I don't get it. I don't like that she's like the real girl that everyone's connecting with. I just see her as being a mean, snobby girl. I just do. Maybe I knew people like her. I don't know. That's all I can see from her. Sutton is, she's falling for me. And I'm not falling for her, if that makes any sort of sense. I didn't really go one way or another with her last season. She was just kind of beige to me. But this season, I guess I respect her manners, but she's also really freaking weird. And the fact that she will just throw money at all this ugly clothes and shit and not realize and it looks like shit makes me really believe that there's not a lot connecting upstairs, like a lot of these people on the show. I don't know what I'm trying to say with that, but Sutton and Crystal give off weird vibes for me. And if it weren't for Erica, I think those two would be getting a real harsh edit because they would just have to zoom in on them because what the hell else is happening, right? Now let's talk about Erica here. I don't know if I was totally asleep for the last end of June and beginning of July, but remember when Housewife and the Hustler came out and Erica's lawyers the next day on June 15th, they came out and said that they were not going to represent Erica anymore because there was like a loss of trust or something. And then it was like 2 days after that, they were back on the case. Well, very soon after that, like 2 weeks, it seemed kind of quiet to me because I hadn't heard of it until I looked it up. There was another law firm that filed this thing saying, okay, well, we're now going to kind of quietly take over all of her affairs. So that representation from her attorneys that she originally had, they are off the case now. And now she's got this super high paying, high power Beverly Hills attorney where like the other people were out of Chicago, I think. So she knows, obviously, that she's getting close to the feds closing in on her. And I think that's going to be the way it goes. I wonder how her son is doing in all of this. I haven't seen a lot reported on what's going on with her son, Tommy Zizzo. If you want to look him up, it's Tommy with a Y, Z-I-Z-Z-O. He seems to have just kind of fallen off the radar, although he was never really in the spotlight because, you know, you don't know how I go to sleep at night, that whole bullshit thing. I really hope they did not drag Tommy in on this, but what if they did? What if Tommy has got some money in the bank or like whatever they filter to Erica in those offshore accounts that Sutton's forensic bankers are certainly going to try to find? And I bet you they'll tell her off the record and then maybe Sutton can spill some tea. But what if Erica was able to get whatever she got from Tom into Tommy's bank account? Just a thought here. Like, I would hate that for him if he already kind of had an absentee mom for the first part of his life. And then when she comes back in with this rich guy, she ends up taking her son down too. I think there is a possibility. Or what if Tommy's got to take the stand and say what he's seen? What, oh my God, like what kind of goods he saw going in and out? And he's a police officer, so he can't lie on the stand. He's got to tell the truth. This could get so much, I don't want to say entertaining or juicy, but like this could get really, really dark. It already is bad, but it could get real, real bad. Whoa, I didn't even think about that. And where is Tommy? Is he living at Erica Jane's super teeny, teeny, tiny bungalow of hers? I mean, that thing is so small. It's only like 6,000 square feet, you guys. And your own pool. Please, all the rich people have a lap pool and a soaking jet tub. I don't know. I don't know what rich people have. I don't even have my own bathtub in my bathroom anymore. But yeah, this is going to get very interesting, and I'm so on board for it. And I'm loving Beverly Hills this season. It's terrible to watch something so dark, but I enjoy it. And I have to say, I actually still enjoy Real Housewives of New York. People are hating this season, but I still love it. I will watch it until it's over. I almost don't want them to totally recast because it could get really bad. Because think about when they did the recasting with Cindy Barshop and Kristen Takeman and her husband and that stupid hat of his. We've had bad seasons before. I think people are forgetting about that. Oh my God. You know, I just thought of right now, I was thinking about other OC housewives that we've had. Remember Quinn, that one season, what the fuck? That was wild. Yikes. She did not belong on that show at all. Well, check out Patreon this week. Remember, we are wrapping up Family Therapy. We're going to be covering Young and Pregnant, Bachelor in Paradise. This week on Total Request Podcast, we are watching a documentary about ferrets called Pursuit of Excellence. And I'm going to watch my first episode ever of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Check the show notes for all the links, and thank you guys for sticking with me. Be sure to check out We Love to Hate Everything and leave us a 5-star review. And until next time, wear a damn mask, get yourself vaccinated. It's so easy, it's so quick, no negative side effects for me over here at least. And I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Stay salty.